This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We've had rain this week, you know? I mean, after all this dry summer, we're getting rain and rain. We've had rain every day this week.
Jeez.
Had you thought about that?
You're going to have to get an ark pretty soon.
I'm afraid the ark should be being built right now. Might be too late. But, wow. You know, when you're getting 7 inches a day,
jeez,
that's a lot of rain.
It is.
And our rain gauge is full, running over.
Well, you got a lot of making up for the summer, for when you had no rain. And, you know, it just was so dry. And then the sad thing is when you get that much rain, the ground is so dry, it doesn't absorb it. So it just runs off, which causes flooding. And so then it just makes it even worse. And so you really need all that to just sink into the ground and all.
That's right. We've got to get the ground soft enough that the water will go in instead of just running them down the road.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't need it on the roads.
No.
And the llamas enjoyed it. You know, I had just planted grass again because I knew it was going to rain. And I don't know if the grass stayed on the ground or if it went down the road also. It'll be interesting to find out if the grass comes up or it doesn't come up again. I mean, you know, we'll find out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just don't know.
Wow.
First, we had a drought. And now we're having rain after rain. And we need it so bad, it's really appreciated.
Yeah, but boy, I guess they're right. I mean, maybe this is where the expression comes from, but when it rains, it pours.
That's right. When it rains, it's really pouring.
Wow.
People over in Roanoke said they got 7 inches, and I thought, surely not. But then our rain gauge is overflowing, so I believe it now.
Jeez, that's a lot
of
water.
So it's rained every day this week.
And,
so everything's either going to soak it in or, I mean, it's going to go to the neighbors. It's going somewhere.
Yeah, and with all that, with the drought that you had this summer, it was so hot and so dry for so long, and all, you know, like you said, the, you know, grass has died, and so now you're left with just, like, dirt, and then all that mud, you know, starts going every place. And so, oh, my goodness, I'm sure that, you know, it sounds like even when this is all done, the terrain might even be a little bit different, you know, because it'll carve little rivers.
We may have a few new rivers.
Yeah. So, wow. I'm just shocked that it's either, you know, feast or famine. It's like someplace we used to have that little middle ground, you know, where you get a little bit of rain once in a while and then it would be nice, a little bit of rain. But now it's just extremes. It's either all hot and dry or all rainy and floody. And so I don't understand what's happened. It's weird.
And it's been in the 80s. I mean, you know, we're still not down to fall weather.
No.
They say maybe next week it might, middle of the week, go to the 50s.
Really?
And I'll be shocked because it's been in the 80s, you know, all of October.
Jeez.
And we, in fact, we had 90, I think, twice.
Wow.
So the weather is on a, you know, it's just on a spiral. You don't know what it's going to be day to day.
I know. And it seems like, wasn't last year at Halloween, and I may be thinking about Easter, but I think at Halloween last year, wasn't it so cold that they had to bundle up and cover up their Halloween costumes?
Seems like it was really bad last Halloween. And, you know, usually on Halloween night, it's always real cold.
Yes.
And the last few years, kids have had to wear a coat over their costume, which they don't like doing that.
Mm-mm. No, you want to show off your costume. That's the whole point.
That's exactly right. So I don't know how it'll come out, but Halloween is on its way.
Yeah. I know. I can't believe, and I'm sure you've seen it as well. But there's Christmas stuff in the stores now. There's, I was trying to find a pumpkin last week, and there were some places that I couldn't find any pumpkins. They were sold out, and instead they had the little Christmas gingerbread houses. I swear.
Oh my gosh!
I know,
because they didn't have Halloween stuff.
Yeah, they'd already sold out, and they'd moved on to Christmas. I was shocked.
Well, they say they will sell 843 million pumpkins this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And can you imagine? The pumpkin growers are going to do wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they will.
One of our pumpkin places that we've went to every year has closed down.
Really?
I don't know what the deal was. I think they just didn't have any help. But they have a nice farm. They've always had a lot of pumpkins for sale, and we'd go and pick out pumpkins. But they're closed.
You think maybe the drought? Did they have something?
I think it was the drought, yes. Because up until now, we haven't had any rain whatsoever. And I know that place is not sprinkled. It's too big for them to sprinkle.
Oh, no.
So they just probably didn't get enough rain to even plant pumpkins. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, wow. That's too bad, because, you know, farming and agriculture is very heavily reliant on weather. And if it gets too dry and too hot for too long, it affects all kinds of things. And then obviously the opposite happens with, you know, if it's too wet, like in the spring, you can't plant. But you don't always think about, you know, things like pumpkins until all of a sudden, you know, it's time and it's just not there. We just kind of take them for granted. So that's too bad.
And,
I'm sorry.
Texas grows the most of anything. On everything, you know, the peanuts, the watermelon, the cantaloupe, onions. We've talked about all this.
Yeah.
Texas is a big supplier of vegetables, and pumpkins is another one of them that's a big supplier is Texas. So that will hurt their crops this year, you know, growing them to sell to all the groceries and all these other places.
Wow.
So I'll bet it's slim pickings this year. I haven't talked to anybody yet. But I'll bet it is. I'll bet there's not near as many pumpkins here as there usually is.
That is so sad. Man, I'm sorry to hear that they closed down. And you've been going there for years.
Yeah,
haven't
I was
you?
Very upset about that, because I planned to take the children like I always do. And, you know, it takes all morning out there.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people, so many different pumpkins, and then they have all kind of displays, things for the kids to do. And so I'll really miss that this year, and I know they will too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a family tradition, going to the
It is a family tradition. So, you know, the weather can really mess things up. And I told you last week, you know, hay has really gone up again. And then the supplier told me they're buying it out of state because they couldn't get enough hay here because it's so dry.
Oh, geez. That'll drive up cost.
It will. It went from 150 a bale to 210.
Wow.
And the farmers aren't getting that, I guarantee.
No. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And didn't you
so
say
it makes a big difference.
A lot of people sold off their livestock this summer?
Yes, it got so dreadfully hot and dry, there wasn't enough feed. The people didn't want to have to buy hay to feed their livestock, because that gets really expensive. If your grass and your pasture dries up, you're in trouble, because, you know, everybody tries to use pasture grass for their cattle all summer. And then in the winter, they'll feed them hay, but not all year. You can't do that. Mm-mm. And make a profit on your cattle.
Jeez.
So a lot of people did get rid of theirs.
Wow. That's a shame, too. Oh, I do want to ask you something right off the bat, though, and it is financially related to, like, the holidays and, you know, pumpkins and Christmas and all that. So I want to ask you that here first. But this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So here's the thing. I've noticed that there have been some full-on Christmas ads that have already been running, like on TV. which is, it seems kind of somewhat normal because, you know, the holidays all kind of mush together and, you know, we're pushing Christmas, you know, way ahead of October these days. But it just seemed odd. It was not one of those, you know, like, because usually you've got like the Black Friday specials and the Thanksgiving things, but these were full on Christmas ads. I mean, like the Christmas trees, the bows, the, you know, have our holidays. It's almost like they ran the commercial 2 months early. It was weird. I've started to notice some of those. And then I read a couple of articles, and one of them was on Forbes, where they are predicting that there could be a full on 2008 crash again coming up sometime. They didn't give a timeline, but sometime in the near future. And I'm wondering if maybe insiders know something, and so they're running holiday ads to get consumer dollars before something happens. Have you heard anything about that? Have you, do you have any thoughts?
No, I haven't heard a thing about it, but I do know that people know there's going to be a tight amount of money, and they've got to get theirs while they can. And you know, the Express Company, I don't know if you're familiar with that. They own 500 stores. They're fixing to go into bankruptcy.
Really?
They said the deal, when we had the virus, people quit buying dressy clothes. And they figured after it was over, people would go back to dressing for the office. They're not. Mm. People are either not going to the office or they're not dressing now. I find that nobody's dressing.
Yeah.
You know, used to everybody feels that on suits. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. People have just, I think because that virus did something to everybody.
Yeah.
And people are not dressing up as much. They don't need the nice clothes now. I think they're going in jeans. And it's hurting the retailers really bad. Mm. And the Express had 500 stores.
Oh, wow.
And it looks like they're fixing to go under. So when you talk about this happening, they say that we're going to have a recession in 24.
Jeez, yeah.
And if we do, you know, these retailers are going to have to tighten everything right down.
Boy.
And so they shouldn't be buying all this extra because it may not sell.
Wow.
That you know, they've already got, I've noticed Macy's, Belk, a lot of the retailers, have already got the coats on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you don't have coats on sale in October.
Yeah.
You know, usually closer to Christmas, the coats go on sale. But they're all on sale right now.
Wow. So you're kind of seeing the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've noticed that all of a sudden they're all on sale. And it's really early for that.
Yeah. I think people are really worried about fourth quarter spending. because you know, you don't normally see, you know, Christmas like the actual Christmas ads before Halloween like this. You at least get through that, you know, a little bit closer to Thanksgiving. And so I wonder if people are they say, oh, what else I saw, and this was interesting, I hope I get the verbiage right, but consumers are, they're reacting for the first time in a decade by reduced spending because of like inflation, war in Israel, weird government things, student loan repayments. And so for the first time in like 10 years, consumers are spending less, and they're really kind of, it's starting to show. And so I'm wondering if, you know, maybe that has something to do with, you know, the way things are going. And so, you know, if there is a crash or something like that, if something is pending, you know, most people, I'm sure, are panicked or weird or unsure. But with life settlements, if that was to happen, for example, they would not be affected for that type of investment.
No, it would not go down. That's one thing. Life insurance policies don't go down. That's the good thing about them. And, you know, everything I read about all these different investments that people have, you know, a lot of them can crash. They can go down. You can lose a lot of money. And they need to be reminded of that. In the past, you know, if we have a recession, things will go down, and they're going to lose some money. I don't know if it'll be a little bit or a lot. You know, you never know. But I have noticed these things. And like you said, if people have sensible investments, things that won't go down, they can go through a recession. and go through all this and they won't even notice it. But let me tell you something. If you're in the stock market, you will notice it. It'll be tremendous. Mm. Because remember how many different times when we've had a recession, the stock market has tanked. And when it did, people lost a lot of money. And it took years to get it back.
Yeah.
And some of them never got it back. So my first thought is always be in something that's safe. Be sure your principal is always safe. If your principal is guaranteed, you're all right. You can make it. If your principal is at risk, you've got a problem. Because let's say you're 70 years old and you're in the stock market. If you've got your life savings, all your retirement is in the stock market and it crashes, what in the heck do you do? Hmm. You don't go back to work. They've already laid you off.
Yeah.
I've got a customer right now that's got life settlements, and now he's going into some annuities. And he said, I'm in my 70s. They walked in 3 months ago and said, it's over. This is your last paycheck. We're laying you off.
Whoa.
And, he couldn't believe it. He's been in the oil business 50 years, been working all these years. And it wasn't that he wasn't doing his job. They wanted to bring in young engineers that they pay half as much.
Oh, boy.
And, and so they're doing this to a lot of the older people. And, of course, he had investments. He's putting other investments with us to do annuities. So now he's got all of his money safe. But he did not want to take any more risk with him in his 70s and not working. Because, like he said, nobody wouldn't hire him now. And so if he lost his money, he'd just be there. Oh, nobody's going to come back and say, oh, we'll put you back on the job.
Yeah, not at this point. Mm-mm.
No, they won't. So a person needs to always make sure that you've got conservative investments.
Wow. Boy, that's
scary. If you're conservative, it won't go down.
I know you talk about that. Sometimes, people who have already retired and then they're like, 75 or 80 and they, all of a sudden, run out of money or something happens. They're in the stock market, there's a crash, they lose everything overnight and then they got to go back to work. But boy, you don't think about those that, are almost to the point where, they're set to retire. And then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out right from under them. It's like, golly, what do you do at that point? You can't go back to work. There's no place to go. That's scary. Boy.
And, you always want to keep your money safe. I feel like it doesn't matter how old you are, but a lot of people don't think about safety till they get, 65, 70 years old and fixing to retire. And then suddenly they wake up and say, if something happened, what in the heck would I do? Mm. So, you want to make sure that you've got tax deferred investments, that you don't pay anything till you take it out. That helps. And you want to be sure that you've got good income. You don't want to lose anything and you need good income.
Is there an age where it might be either ideal, or is there an age that maybe it's too late to get into life settlements?
Well, a lot of people are not going to do it at 79 or 80, I can tell you.
Mm.
If they're younger than that, it's a good investment for them, and it depends how much you're going to need to be taking out. Now, a lot of people come and they say, I'm not going to be taking anything out for 3 or 4 years. You can do either one if you're not going to need anything out, for several years.
So,
but you want to be sure that when you get ready for it, that your money's there, that you've got the same amount you started with plus your interest.
Say somebody's, 55, 60, something like that, and they kind of see the signs on the wall, kind of like all this, the layoffs and looking for other, younger people. Say they see that. Say they see the, what may be going on with, the economy and stock market and all that. And they say, I'm 55. I'm close to 60. I'm a few years away from retiring. I got a million or two in the bank. Maybe it is time to do something different. Is that a good setup? Is that a good place to be in to start life settlements?
Yes, I would think, because You know, you're not going to outlive your money. You know, that's things people should think about. Am I going to outlive my money? And if it's in the stock market, you could darn sure outlive it. But if you've got something that's conservative, that doesn't go down, you know, you're not going to outlive your money. Your money's always guaranteed. You don't have the volatility of the stock market, and that helps you a lot. You always know where you're at. And then, you know, the drawdown dilemma. Are you going to deplete your savings? So, you know, you don't want to deplete your savings. You want to make sure that your savings is secure, that it can't go down. People that outlive their money, you know, are in a bad way. And so you don't want you or your husband to outlive your retirement paycheck.
Yeah. And is it, could we make like your the slogan, always protect the principal? Could we make that a
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely. the principal, I don't care what you do, needs to be guaranteed, needs to be safe. Don't go into something that has got 1,000% risk. Now, it's easy for somebody that's selling you something to say, oh, well, yes, you've got market risk, but we're going to take care of you. You know, don't believe that. It doesn't work that way. So you need to say, okay, what percent of my money do I need guaranteed? And a lot of people say, well, I need all of it guaranteed. Well, then you need to be in a conservative investment then. If you say, I can lose this much money, then I'm not going to worry about you. I'm going to say, okay. You stay with the stock market. You can handle the risk. If you lose, it won't hurt you. But I don't have a lot of people that say that. Most people say, you know, I need my money guaranteed. I want to do a life settlement. You know, I know that it's in a life insurance policy. I will not lose my principal. And that's what they're interested in. And then they want to make some money in addition to being safe. So a life settlement is a good investment. You know, since 2018, we've talked about it, we've returned $100 million.
Jeez.
Overall, we've returned $200 million to customers.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And I don't think the stock market can tell you that, you know. I mean, it backs up sometimes. And when things are going good, the stock market looks rosy. People get excited. Oh, I want to do that. But you have to remember that. The principal's not guaranteed. The interest is not guaranteed. It goes up, but sometimes it comes down. But if you know that your principal is guaranteed, you know you can retire tomorrow because you have the money. That's what's important. And the people that have been coming to me lately are all in their 70s. We've got a lot of people retiring right now. And, you know, they want to be sure that their money is safe. They're also doing annuity now. I've got a lot of people that have got both. A lot of people that have been with us for years. They have a lot of life settlements, and now they're taking part of their money and putting it in annuities rather than the stock market. Because the annuities, they know it's safe, it's guaranteed, their principal's always going to be there, and the interest locks in once a year. But you don't have to take anything out unless you're 73 and a half. And if you are, then every year you've got to make a withdrawal. So you've got to have something that's liquid enough to make withdrawals. So that's where an annuity comes in.
It's interesting. I didn't realize that you had kind of like an influx of people in their 70s that have come over and wanted to start. I guess I always thought it was like 50s or 60s. I didn't realize that.
No. We have a lot of customers that started with us 10 years ago, okay? So now they're saying, I need to diversify, Faye. I'm going to need some cash because I'm going to have to start taking money out of my retirement. So they've got their life settlements, that's safe. They've got $200,000 to $300,000 in life settlements. Now they're going to have a couple of $100,000 in an annuity, and they're going to take their withdrawals out of their annuity every year. And they know that there's no taxes on it till you take it out. They know that it's compound interest. It's lawsuit proof. It's not part of their estate. It's separate. If you have somebody you don't want to get part of your money, an annuity. It's set in stone. Whoever you want to get that money will get it if it's in an annuity. And we all have people that we don't want to get any of our money. It's a sad, sad thing, but it's the truth. And people call me every day and they'll say, Faye, so-and-so, I don't trust this person. I don't want them to get any of the money. How do I protect it? I said, you do an annuity. And the only people that get it is the ones named as beneficiary. You can have five beneficiaries. You can have three. But you need to take care of it and do it that way.
Yeah, I would imagine probably, you know, there are people that will come out of the woodwork at any point and try to, you know, contest something or whine and cry and say, oh, I should have some. That's my share. That's mine. They promised me whatever 25 years ago. And so that's a good way to protect it. You know, you don't always think about that. It's, you know, making sure that not only the people that you want to have access to it get it, but also to make sure that those you don't are protected from it and they don't steal it.
Well, and of course, this is closer than that. This is relatives that are close to you.
Oh, my.
This is some of your children that you can't trust.
Oh, not the long-lost cousins.
That's what I'm talking about today, your children that you can't trust. Everybody has one of those that, you know, they would spend it all, that they are not honest, that you can't trust them. That's what the parents are telling me. I don't want that one person involved. Ah. And so I'm going, okay. So we've done some annuities to protect them from themselves. Yes, we have done that.
Because I know we all know that big weirdo, you know, that's like lurking out the third cousin, you know, that you haven't seen in 30 years. I didn't realize it was quite that much in the inner circle. So different perspective.
Yes, it's a little closer to home than you thought.
Wow.
And several years ago, we had a case where this man had a trust. Well, he had two bad nephews. And the bad nephews come over there and they steal the trust out of his house.
Oh.
Where nobody will know who's going to get the money. I mean,
wow.
You know, anything can happen. If you have a trust, you need to have a safe in your house and keep it locked up. You have that's important papers, keep it in a safe and have it where that a relative can't come in and take something where nobody will know who gets everything. And that went on and lingered in court for several years over that, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, my God. I imagine that was probably a headache and a half.
It was, and cost a lot of money. A lot of money was spent getting these two nephews out of the picture.
Jeez.
Because they got the trust, and they were going to change it and show that they got the money. I mean, people aren't always honest.
Boy, yeah, especially when it comes to money like that. Golly, it'll bring out the worst in people in a hurry.
Sometimes it does bring out the worst.
We'll just call it like it is today.
Call it like it is. But if you want your money safe and guaranteed, you need to be in something that is a safe product. And a life settlement is a life insurance policy that we buy on people that have cancer. If people have cancer, we're bidding on their policies. We may not get them, but we're certainly bidding them, and we're bidding them hard. Because if it's stage 4 cancer and it's less than 34 months, we're interested in it. The ones we've been bidding this week are really short, 17-20 months.
Oh.
We bid 3 or 4 that are really short this week. I don't know if we'll get them, but I'll bet we do. And they're really good policies. I bid them hard. I think we'll get them. But when we buy a policy, then we put it out to our clients. You know, we pay 1%. If it's a 24 month, they're going to get 24%. It doesn't matter if it comes in early, if it comes in late, or if it comes in on time. It's a guaranteed amount. So they're going to get that no matter what. And then when the policy matures, they're going to pay interest from the day that they got the claim till they pay it. So we've got one that we just went to the bank, and there was an extra $12,000 in interest in it.
Mm, that's cool.
So that helps a lot.
Yeah,
it was really cool that they got that much extra interest. So you get interest, and sometimes you get additional interest that you don't know you're going to get. But the policies are doing better in the last 3 years. People are getting paid early. You know, the last two claims that we talked about in the last 2 weeks, they were both early. One was a pancreatic cancer, and one was a breast cancer. They both came in early.
Cool. For those who are thinking about it, who are like seriously at that point where it's like, you know, okay, this has gone a little bit too much. We're not only maybe worried about not losing any more money, but worried about what might happen in the future. It's time to seriously start thinking about, you know, doing something different than the stock market. Talk for just a second about the contrast of the reserves that life insurance companies have on hand versus banks. Because that's another level of security.
Well, they must put up reserves on every policy they write. In other words, they have to be able to pay all these at one day if they had to. And it'll never happen. But they're audited twice a year. State and national auditors come in. They audit them to make sure they have enough reserves to cover everything. And this has to be a liquid reserve. It has to be either bonds or something of that type that they know they can pay off immediately. And that's why if we turn in a claim for $1 million or $20 million, it pays the same. You know, they're going to pay it, and they're going to pay it quick. So that's the nice thing about a life insurance company. They have the reserves, a lot more reserves than a bank. They're bigger than a lot of the banks. You know, $60 billion, $100 billion is nothing for a life insurance company.
You know, I think for me, the visual that comes to mind to kind of put it in perspective, because sometimes it's a difficult, I mean, maybe the concept isn't difficult, but we don't always put it in practical terms. For me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I always kind of go back to It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's just like, you know, when the crash is happening and George goes to the bank and loan, and then everybody's standing there and he's like, well, you know, your money is in, you know, Joe's house, and, you know, Joe, and then you're, you know, we went over.
He loaned all that money out.
He did. And then at the end of the day, he's left with $2, and he's, you know, then they're haggling it about, you know, that dude across the street is going to pay 50 cents on the dollar, which is better than nothing. That's not a thing. That's a bank thing. That's not a life insurance company thing. You're not going to get 50 cents on the dollar. When the policy matures, you're going to get the full value regardless of if it comes in early, on time, or late, right?
Well, and there's a big difference. Life insurance companies don't make loans. That's why they're more solvent.
Yeah.
They don't make loans. They're not going to loan you money. They just write policies. They write life insurance policies on people. They write term life. They write permanent life. That's what they do. And then they collect premiums forever. And then they have a percentage of people that we're going to let them lapse. That's where the huge profit is. Because every year, there's people that just say, I'm not going to pay the premium anymore. And they just let it lapse. Mm. And they paid on it for 10 years. So all that premium is a profit, folks.
Yeah, because they'll never have to pay
it out. All profit. No, they're not going to pay out a dime. And they got all that money every year. So that's a big profit for a life insurance company. And there's a big percent. I think it's 20-something percent of people let them go every year.
Holy moly, so, really? That
yeah,
many?
It's over 20% that just, you know, bail out.
Wow.
They pay them, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't really need that, or I can't afford it anymore, or I got a divorce and I don't need it, and they let it go. And that's where the profit is.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high. 20%, that's
it
big.
It is high, yeah, 20-something percent.
Jeez.
People just don't pay it anymore. And even with term life, which is cheap, term life is very cheap. And I always recommend term life unless you have a reason to buy permanent life. Because, you know, term life, a 20-year policy. Now they're writing them even longer. So, and if you've got a term life, before the 20 years is up, you've got to either let it go or change it over to permanent life.
Hmm.
And if you forget, it's gone.
Wow. And then all that money just down the...
It is for nothing. Yeah, it's gone.
Down the drain. Wow.
But a life insurance is the best investment I know of because it's safe. You know, your principal is always safe. When you buy a life insurance policy like we do, you know, they know that it's a 2-year or 1-year, and then they're going to get paid. and it's going to be 18%, 24%, 30%, whatever it is. And so it goes right back into your bank account. And Nevada Trust is the trustee on everything we do. We're not the trustee. The Nevada Trust acts as our trustee, and they take care of the premiums. If there's a premium due, they take care of the claims when they come due. They send the certified death certificate in, and then we get paid. And the money goes to the bank. It never comes to us. It goes to the bank, and the bank, we tell them what accounts it goes in, and they put it in your account. Now, that's as simple as it can be.
And return, if people are wondering about returns, it's not like people are going to have to wait, 20 years to get a return. You're looking at, 18, 30 months on average is what you're looking at when you're bidding?
34 months is the longest we'll go.
Yeah.
So most of them are 2 years, 18 months. We do a lot of 18 months. We do several 12 months. And those 12 months, we have to close them fast because, remember, it rescinds if they die within 30 days. And we've had that happen this summer. We had a guy that died right after we did this, and so we had to give the money to the family. And our money came back and went back in the accounts. We had two that rescinded, that changed their mind at the last minute. And so that money went back in their accounts.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that can happen to you. It could rescind, and we need to tell you that. And I don't think I've done that lately. That it could rescind, and the family will get the money.
And it's also important to note that when they do rescind, people don't lose that money. It's just they're not in that policy. You just take that and put it in another one. They don't lose it.
It comes back to their account, and then we invite them into another policy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because it's in escrow, remember. Until it's finalized, it goes to escrow at Nevada Trust. So it's sitting there in escrow. Now, let's say we've already paid the people. They have to write a check and give it back to us.
Hmm. Okay.
So the family has to go find that money and put it back if they want to get the whole thing.
Jeez.
And, last year we had a family that couldn't do it. They had absolutely spent the money. So we got to keep it. They got what we'd given them originally, but we made the profit off of the policy because they'd spent it and they didn't have it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the first one we've ever had that it spent the money and it could not give it back.
But you ended up getting the profit from it anyway.
Yeah, we got the profit, so it was okay.
Yeah. All right, so investors were good all the way around. They were pretty happy.
Our people were happy.
Yeah, your people, they may not be so much, but your people were very happy.
Yeah, our people were happy. Other people screwed up. That can happen.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Halloween. Halloween.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my first question to you. How much will be spent on Halloween this year?
Okay, on candy or costumes or all of it?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. I'm going to guess $50
million. $12.2 billion. I mean, who would have known that it was in the billions? I had no idea. $12.2 billion. That's candy, costumes, and the decorations.
Jeez, we're in the wrong business.
We were in the wrong business. We got caught again.
Yeah.
Last year, it was $10 billion. It went up that much.
Really? A $2 billion jump from year to year?
Yes. I mean, I guess it was down last year.
Wow.
What percentage of Americans take part in Halloween?
Oh, boy. Okay, so if thinking about how much they spend, I'd have to say it's a pretty large number. I'm going to say 85%.
69%.
Really?
Of Americans are going to participate in Halloween.
Well, that's lower than I thought. Interesting.
Yes. Now then, Texas is all these ghost towns. We have 500 ghost towns.
Really?
In Texas, more than any other place in the United States. Did you know that?
Do we really? I didn't know that.
Yes. We have more than 500 of them. We have more than any state. And we have four Texas ghost towns that have all this hidden history that everybody loves. And our ghost towns date to the 1800s.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Belle Plain in Callahan County during the 1870s. It looked like it was a really promising West Texas town. It was pleasant. It was beautiful. Had a lot of prospects. And Captain George Robin, he was the newspaper editor. He went out there to Belle Plain. He established in 1876, and he was had a they had a several stores, saloons, a jail, a hotel, and then they had his newspaper. It was just going to do so good, and they had a college there, one of the first institutions in West Texas. And in 1881, the college enrolled 21 students. Well, by 1882, they had 85.
Oh, wow.
And they taught things like philosophy, history, astronomy, and physics. And they had a music department. Well, 11 years later, it closed. And that town was already in trouble before the college closed. And the Texas Pacific Railroad, you know, they decided to go around. And they went to Baird, 6 miles north. Well, that took care of it. And no one lives there anymore. And you can see what remains of the college, of the dean's residence. And it is a true ghost town.
Really? So like nobody lives there?
Nobody lives there. Hagerton, over in Grayson County, in the 1870s, the farmers been colonizing it. It's 80 miles north of Dallas. And, you know, it was named for Mr. Steedman, Judge S.D. Steedman. And they changed the name in honor of the railroad and Attorney James Hagerman. And then in 1909, they had 250 residents, several businesses, a school, a church. Then it flooded in 1943. Now then, in Texas, we've got the creepiest haunted houses anywhere around. Number one is Creepy Hollow Haunted House in Rose Sharon. And it's too terrifying. It says you'll be scared to death. They've got all three haunted attractions at this house. And the scare factory runs rampant with numerous creatures, with the dark woods, all this. So that's number one in Texas, this Creepy Hollow Haunted House. Then you've got Trilvania. A haunted house park is out in Terrell, and it spans over 50 acres.
Wow.
And you have a deranged werewolf experience. And he gets all these innocent victims, turns them violent and murderous. And they've got a chilling and terrifying time. This maddening haunted house will truly test your courage. And so it's number two. Number three is Scream Hollow Wicked Halloween Park in Smithville.
Ooh.
It's a bone-chilling attraction with four haunted houses.
Blah.
Terror is around every corner. The Mansion of Terror is riddled with demonic spirits. If the ghosts don't scare you, the zombies will.
Oh.
And you've got murderous clowns. You may be running all the way to your car. And then you've got the Dark House Haunted House out in Plano. You will find evil witches, and they've turned the place into a hair-raising experience. Visitors are not safe from the witches as they tour the grounds, all these haunted grounds that they've got.
Spooky.
And then you've got the Houston Terror Dome.
Ooh.
You'll be terrified at this haunted attraction, even if other haunted houses have failed to scare you. If you escape this creepy haunted house, enjoy a live DJ, dancing with the zombie dancers. Oh, my gosh. But they say these are the scariest. These were number ones. Then you've got the House of Torment in Austin. They have deranged clowns, maniacal beasts, and murderous ghouls.
Murderous ghouls.
Murderous and ghouls. Unforgiving, soul-captured ghoul. Ma is in Graveside Manor. It's home to the gruesome creatures abandoned in a creepy penitentiary.
Ooh, penitentiaries are creepy.
Unregulated testing went seriously wrong. Oh, my gosh. And then you've got the 13th floor haunted house in San Antonio.
Ooh.
It has great reviews, terrifying demeanor, horrifying attractions. 13th floor haunted house has been featured on Travel Channel and Huffington Post.
Really?
For being just downright scary. First, you wander through the basement, where captives are subject to experimental tests. If you escape through the underground tunnels, don't think you're completely in the clear. There's terrifying scenes all over the house, but it's nothing like the 13th floor. Only enter this haunted house if you dare.
Wow.
Yes. And one of the longest running attractions is the haunted house in Beaumont. The haunted house is one of the longest running haunted attractions in the state. Terror begins in October, runs through mid-November. It's complete with zombies, a spooky atmosphere, and a maniac. And you will literally be running through your life.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so those are the fun things.
Wow.
So all those are available. You have to find out when you can get tickets. If you really want to be scared, try them. Those are the scariest that we have in Texas.
Creepy Hollow, that's genius.
Oh, yeah, Creepy Hollow. And I like them when they're out in the woods. You know, that's going to scare people to death.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, that one's on 20 acres. Can you imagine what they can do in 20 acres?
Oh, my God. The woods are terrifying to begin with, or they can be. But, boy, you put, you know, some of those far-off sounds. I imagine you're walking through the woods at night on this haunted thing, and then all of a sudden you hear like a werewolf out off in the distance. Oh, hoo, hoo.
Yeah, and you're going to start running.
Yes.
You're going to get scared. And then you probably can't find your way out. That's the part I like. You're in this maze and you're trying to get out, and the howling gets louder, and you're running trying to get out of there. I love it. It's not for the faint of heart.
No.
No, you've got to be tough to do these.
Yeah, and you better have good bladder control, too, because that would terrify me more.
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. And I don't even know if they're suitable for kids.
Oh, probably.
I mean, they're so terrifying. I think I'd leave the kids out of this.
Yeah.
And you and your husband go and see if you can get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really for adults.
Yeah.
I think it's just too darn scary for children.
Yeah.
And that one already says that they won't allow kids.
Oh, geez.
So that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
This is truly scary.
This is adult date night if you're into like Halloween. Wow. You remember when clowns were fun and they were not creepy and weird?
Yes. Yes, and everybody loved clowns. We had them at all of our parties.
Yeah.
And then when those real clown murders happened,
yes,
everybody got rid of clowns. Then the children were scared of clowns, and that's a shame because clowns used to be fun. They were at the circuses. They were at all the children's parties. And now I don't think you can even rent a clown.
No.
It's a shame.
I know it.
It's really a shame because they were fun and they weren't scary. And then after those bad incidents, people were scared of them and the kids got scared. And I don't think they even have them anymore.
Yeah. You used to have Bozo the Clown and then you had like Ronald McDonald. I don't think they do much with Ronald McDonald anymore.
I don't even see Ronald McDonald. And I think it's because of that scare we all had.
I know it.
That was so terrifying. And they just got rid of all of them.
I know. Because, and it was real.
It was real.
Ugh, it's not even a movie. I mean, you see the clowns in movies, and that's one thing to be in a movie. But to have it be real, that gives it a whole nother, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. And we don't know what happened that those people went crazy and did all that. But it sure changed what we could do and not do.
Yeah, no doubt. And the clown industry never recovered after that, I don't believe.
No, it didn't. And, you know, they're going to spend $12 billion this year on candy and costumes. I mean, it's just, but we're always too late for all these fancy things, aren't we?
I know it.
I mean, the Christmas lights, we missed that. And we know that's a $250,000 deal right here at Christmas. Yeah. And you don't have to work the rest of the year. Just do the Christmas lights, make your money, and spend the rest of the year having fun.
Yeah, go back.
You know, I mean, you don't have to do anything. And now we find out that Halloween costumes and candy is a $12 billion industry.
Clearly.
I would never have believed it.
We missed the mark on that one. Didn't you say that Halloween, like people decorating their house, isn't that starting to, like, ramp up and kind of compare to the extravagant displays that people put up at Christmas time? There's a bunch of them.
Well, there's one that I saw. I'm telling you, they spent $4,000 to $5,000.
Good Lord.
Right out in the front yard.
Wow.
Now, I just can't imagine spending that kind of money just to show off my Halloween things.
I know it. Jeez.
It just doesn't make sense. Now, Christmas, I can believe everybody should go all out. Everybody does. And that's why it costs so much money. You know, you've got to do your fence. You've got to go to the gazebo. You got to do the house. Then you got to put the fun things out in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have the Santa out there. You've got to have the reindeer out there. All the other things that go with it. And it's a fun time.
Yeah. You got the blow up things, the lights, the animatronics. You've got the other little trinkets. And most people, when they go big, they want to basically be seen from space. And so it takes not only a lot to get all the stuff to set it up, but then to power all that. I've seen some displays on I think it's Instagram, where just these extreme Halloween displays that are kind of like those big Christmas ones. It's like there's a bunch of animatronics and huge tall werewolves and monsters.
Oh my gosh.
I know it. It's impressive, but boy, it's expensive. I can't imagine.
I was thinking about decorating all the llamas as reindeer,
Now that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I don't know how the llamas would feel, though.
More.
I haven't talked to them about this situation. It might be a little much, but they're gentle. I don't know if they'd let us do that or not.
Yeah, I don't know, but boy, I'm sure they would go along with it. I'm sure they'd love the attention.
They might love the attention because it would be a fun deal. People stop every day and look at our llamas. They'll stop by the road and visit the llamas, and the llamas love it. They're people, llamas. They love people. And it's when people come.
Yeah, they walk right up to them and socialize, don't they? They don't care.
They're very socialistic.
Yeah.
They like people. They like other animals. They like goats. They like geese. They like everything. And they'll share. That's what I love about them.
Do they really?
They don't chase you out of their yard. They just, okay, you're coming over, okay. And that little goat that goes under the fence and comes over to visit, they love him. They don't care.
So the neighbor animals come over, socialize with the llamas, play for the day, and then go home for supper.
That's right. And then the little black cat, we found him down there with him.
Oh, boy.
And I think he got caught in the rain.
Oh, no.
And so I think he had to spend the night with him. So you just never know, It's fun and games here.
This is all real. You're not making up any of these stories either. That's the fun part.
That is the fun part. Ours is real. We don't have to make it up. Oh, my gosh.
It's another animal adventure at Faye Bagby's house.
That's right. Absolutely.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I think you should print T-shirts that say something like "Llamas are people too."
I think I should, or put a picture of each llama on a T-shirt.
There you go. Yeah, see, you can make a fortune that way. There you go.
The bottom would drop out of it if we did it. But you know, everywhere you go, you see llamas on coats. You see stuffed llamas. You see them on little mugs, on glasses. These people have already thought of all that.
Yeah. Well, there's just.
But I bet none of them own one llama. I bet you they don't own one.
I bet they don't. They don't really know what they're like. They're gentle.
They don't really know what a llama is. They've never met one.
They just know that they're furry and soft and cute.
That's right. And they make money by painting them on things.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We could have made money by painting them on things.
That's right. We would have had to work day and night, but I bet we could have done it.
Yeah, we could have. Or we could just stick with, like, you know, annuities or, you know, life settlements and then be just fine.
I think we should.
It seems to be working okay.
Yeah.
We should probably run down the risk real quick before we wrap up with life settlements. There's two. There used to be kind of three, but now there's only two. What's the biggest one?
The biggest risk is it could go over and you would owe premiums. If you owe premium, that's your biggest risk. There really is not a big risk other than that. So you need to know about it. So when we do a policy, we always put that on the information. And we tell you what the face amount is. We tell you what your profit is. We tell you what kind of cancer it is. And then we tell you if it goes over, this is what it costs you. But we've already told you that before. When we send out the invitation to go in the policy, we tell you right then if there's a premium call, if the premium's paid up, we'll tell you if it's 1%, 0.5%, 2%, or if there's no premium at all. Sometimes we buy policies that the premium is paid up. So we tell you all that in advance where you'll know what you're doing, okay? And then the other risk, is remember, it's not liquid until it pays off. When it pays off, it goes in your account, then it is liquid. It's not liquid till then.
Did we do accreditation already?
No, we have not. To do this, you must be accredited. It is the law. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. The minimum investment is $100,000.
And these qualifications are not the same for annuities. It's a little bit different.
No, annuities are completely different. You must have savings or you must have investments naturally. Because if you're, let's say you're going into annuity and give them $100,000, that can't be the only money you have in the world. If it is, they will not do it. So if let's say your bills are $1,000 a month. If you don't make but $1,000 a month, you wouldn't have anything left over. So if you make $1,000, your bills have to be like $250. If you make $4,000 a month, your bills shouldn't be over $2,000. You know.
Okay.
So it can be a percentage, but it can't be the 100%.
Okay. So they are going to look at your ins versus your outs, but as far as strict.
Sure.
Yeah. Just like
and
anything
as long
else.
As it's normal and you've got savings or you've got investments, it's fine. If it's your only money in the world, they're not going to do it.
Cool. All right. I assume you've got availability this coming week. Halloween isn't going to mess anything up, right? You're still...
No. we have a full week. We expect policies. We'll be putting people in policies this week. We'll be doing annuities. We'll be doing life settlements. So we're on it. If anybody needs help with anything, they can talk to me, and I'll walk them through it.
Perfect. And one last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, get started, get some information, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.